Last time, on Tales of the Ironlands, Kalaira finished her investigation of the lost elven village near Palinham. From the spirit of a dead elf, she learned that it had once been the home of the Shatu tribe, but that one of their Kokari, a woman named Pala, had become death-touched, and then forsworn her vow to the Black Lady. When Pala died once more, she returned as a baron, and killed the Shatu tribe with a terrible disease called the Singing Death. The spirit told Kalaira that the Baron Pala left after that, but it did not know where she went. Kalaira promised to put down the Baron, and then tell the spirit. Together with Ainari, Kalaira returned to her home village of Palinham. There she reported her father's fate to her mother, Sophie Enya's daughter, and confronted Sophie about her involvement with the Baron. Sophie was able to confirm that she had made a bargain of some sort with the Baron, but was unable to tell Kalaira the details. Sophie is apparently magically bound in ways that prevent her from speaking about her bargain. When Kalaira asked if anyone else knew about it, Sophie told her that her teacher Halfdan Groason had known about it, but that he was long dead and buried in the catacombs of Aidenholt. Kalaira stayed in Palinham for a week, recuperating from her trials and resupplying, and then she set out for Aidenholt, where she hopes to raise Halfdan Groason's spirit and learn the nature of her mother's bargain from him. The exiled elf Ainari joined her once again, this time with the understanding that although he values her, he is not convinced Kalaira is fully committed to honoring her vow to the Black Lady, and intends to watch her until she can prove her intent to him. And that's where we're going to pick up. And I think the logical opening move is simply to undertake a journey to Aidenholt. This is going to be a dangerous journey, although it is further than any of the previous journeys she's made. It's also within the bounds of a single region of the country. So, we're starting from a bonded community, so this is going to be at plus one over the usual two from wits. Here we go. I have a five versus a two and a one. Strong hit. And we're going to mark progress. I have the option of trading momentum for supply. No, excuse me, supply for momentum, but my momentum is already capped, so that does not make sense. The journey takes Ainari and Kalaira through the Havens, one of the more heavily settled areas of the country, at least settled by humans. There is not a road exactly, but a path. It is not paved, but a track that has been cleared and is mostly maintained. The two of them walk along through the mid-spring weather and chat with one another.
So how do you expect to find out about your mother's bargain with this baron? Says Ainari.
She told me that her teacher, Halfdan Groason, knew about it.
Ah, so we're going to go talk to him?
It may not be quite that easy, she says, on account of he's been dead for 30 years. So I'm hoping I may be able to talk with his spirit.
Bleh, Ainari says, shivering a bit.
You death-touched.
Make me uneasy.
Yes, I can see that, she says, uncomfortable once again. But that's the only path that I have open before me, so that's the path I must tread.
You were able to speak with that spirit in the Shatu tribe's village, Ainari says. Was it difficult?
Not especially, she says. I was quiet for a time, and then I called it, and it came.
Do you think it will be just as easy?
I have no idea. I'm new to this. Let's talk about something else, she says. And the two of them talk about their childhoods. Ainari tells her about the long lessons and training that he underwent in the Skaran tribe, preparing him for a leadership role that never materialized. Kalaira tells him about growing up in Palinham, being taught herbalism by her mother, who is a really excellent healer, and sword work by her father. As well as, you know, an introduction to the basics of hunting, gathering plants, all the skills that she's shown to date. At the end of the day, they make camp alongside the road, just slightly removed from it, inside of a clearing that has been left there by previous travelers. There is an existing fire pit, the rocks stained with the soot of many previous uses. So they make camp for the evening. I do not actually need any of the mechanical benefits of making camp here. But I should probably do it anyway, because there might be a miss, which could potentially have something interesting happen. So, rolling plus supply, which is currently at 5. I have a 9 versus an 8 and a 7. So I am going to take plus 1 on undertake a journey the next day. None of these other benefits actually do anything for me, because my health, spirit, momentum are all capped. The night passes uneventfully. The two of them share a dinner. Ainari brings down a small goose, which foolishly got separated from its flock, and the two of them have roast goose for dinner. In the morning, it occurs to Kalaira that she's not got a sword. She left her father's sword behind because it was the weapon on which she swore her vow to save him from the primordial that she was unable to fulfill. She now has a spear instead. She rises early and takes the spear, practices with it a little bit. She has used spears before, mostly when hunting boars, but not so much as a weapon of war. She spends some time getting familiar with the balance. And then, as the sun is burning away the last of the mists and Ainari is preparing breakfast, she takes the blade in her hands and listens for the cries of those it has killed, and she's going to conduct the keen ritual to enhance her spear, because that works on any weapon. She gets plus 1 on this from being death-touched, because this is in fact dealing with or invoking the spirits of the dead. So, it's plus heart, plus 1, rolling at plus 4. She has got a 5 versus a 5 and a 9. I could burn momentum in order to cancel both of those and make this a strong hit. But I think instead I'm going to pay the price.
All right, Oracle, what does the price look like today? 77. It is stressful. Kalyra reaches out for the spirits of those this weapon has slain in its time. But rather than hearing singing, she hears squeals of pain, the shrieks of things cut short. It seems that this weapon has been used as a hunting weapon, not a weapon of war to date. And so the spirits that she has reached out to are animals. She wasn't expecting that, and the discordant cries that come back to her instead of the song she was expecting leave her unnerved, suffering one spirit and enduring stress. And plus spirit, so 7 versus a 3 and a 2. Strong hit. And I'm going to trade -1 momentum down to 8 from 9 in order to regain the spirit. So, spirit's back to 5. That was unexpected, she said.
What are you doing? Says Anari.
Hmm? Oh, well, I was, it's a thing I can do. I can make a keen for the spirits of those a weapon has slain, and then they come to my aid when I'm fighting with it.
Ah, more death-touched nonsense.
Oh, no, she says. I could do this even before I became death-touched. But this weapon has not been used in combat with other people. It's been used as a hunting weapon. Mostly boars, I think. The spirits of animals speak differently than those of people. It was unexpected. Let me try again, she says.
And she's going to try the ritual once again, because she rolled a 1 on the die last time, and that was pretty terrible. This is still at +4.
She has 6 versus 6 and 6. Okay. Well. Once again, Kalyra reaches out for the spirits in the weapon, trying to keen along with them in ways that will assuage their animal nature. And once again, she fails. I think she's going to suffer 1 spirit damage again. She is going to endure stress. Weak hit with a 4 versus a 3 and a 10. She presses on. I don't think it's going to work, she says. Not with this weapon. It would need to be blooded with human blood before it would work, I think.
Well, that's not exactly something we should be hoping for, Inari says.
I agree, she says. With any luck, I won't even need to use this. I wish I had a sword.
Why don't you have a sword anyway? He asks.
She drops her gaze and sits down opposite him. I swore my vow to rescue my father on that sword. When I lost the vow, it only feels appropriate that I lose the sword. I left it at home, over the fireplace, with Mother.
Seems pretty silly if you ask me. I mean, don't
you criticize me,
This is important to me. You swear a vow, you must keep it.
I suppose you're right, he says. And I'm going to mark progress on her vow to demonstrate her commitment to Inari. It is formidable. So that's just 1 out of 10 progress. But he just suggested that forswearing a vow is something that you can do and still use the iron that you swore it on, whereas she doesn't think that is right. So I think that demonstrates commitment. A little, anyway. After breakfast, they pack up and resume their travels towards Aidenholt, undertaking a journey at +1 because of the successful camping roll from last night. I have a 9 versus a 6 and a 7. Strong hit. I could trade supply for momentum, but my momentum is at 8 and my supply is at 5, and I don't think that last one momentum is so terribly important right now. So I'm just going to mark progress on the journey to Aidenholt. Partway through the day, they cross a river which flows down from the hinterlands and through into the havens, making its way southeast. They cross with no particular issues. It's shallow and broad. The stones at the bottom are smooth, worn away by the water of many centuries. The spring is growing notably warmer, partially because the season is advancing, but also because they are slowly going a little further south. Kalyra begins to notice crocuses peeking up their heads. Also, daffodils and snowbells, of course, have been out for a while. That evening, they find another campsite similar to the previous one.
Hmm, that's convenient, says Inari.
Well, of course, Kalyra says. People travel back and forth along this path all the time, and they can get about as far in a day going either direction, so people establish camps, and then later people use the same camps, and eventually you have semi-permanent camping spots along the side of the trail.
Hmm. That makes sense, I suppose, he says.
And so they settle in for the night. Make camp. I have an 8 with 3 plus 5 from supply versus a 2 and a 9, which is a weak hit. And I'm going to choose +1 on undertake a journey for the next day because that's really the only useful one to me at the moment. Oh, I could get her spirit back, I suppose, but I'd rather have the +1 on undertake a journey. In the morning, they pack up and head out once more, undertaking a journey at +1, or +3 total, wits +1. I have a 5 versus a 3 and a 7 for a weak hit on undertake a journey. -1 supply. And I get to mark progress. The day passes uneventfully. They have been using some of the supplies that they brought from Palinham. Towards the end of the day, they come to a human settlement. What is this place called? Here we are, Kalyra says. Orvindal. Orvindal is a moderately large settlement, larger than Palinham, consisting of perhaps 20 or 30 homes. They also have a large hall. There is a jarl, or a leader of some sort here. It's beginning to get dim when they finally make their way to the gates of Orvindal.
"Who goes?" says a guard, standing up from where he has been keeping watch from a seat by the side of the gate.
"Kalaira Sophie's daughter of Palinham, and Einari, formerly of the Skaran tribe of elves."
Let me get a look at you," says the guard.
Kalaira stands still and lets the guard look them up and down. And now I'm going to ask the Oracle, is there going to be any trouble entering Orvindal because Kalaira is death-touched? I think it is likely. So I need to roll a high is yes, she's going to have trouble. So 26 or higher is there's trouble. And low is none. Okay, Oracle. I got an 85.
"What's wrong with your eyes?" says the guard.
I'm what they call death-touched, she says.
"Death-touched, huh? I don't like the sound of that. You wait here, I'm gonna ask whether it's all right to let you in."
So Kalaira and Einari look at one another, and the guard disappears within. There is another guard who has not yet said anything, and he keeps an eye on the two of them as they stand there. After a while, the guard returns, accompanied by a somewhat elderly woman wearing a long white linen robe belted about the middle with a sash. She also has a fur cloak, of some sort of dark gray fur, perhaps wolf, about her shoulders. Her hair is mostly gray at this point, and her face is strong and stern. She looks to be in her, perhaps, early 50s.
"These are them," the guard says, "an elf, and the lady says she's death-touched, whatever that means."
The woman looks the two of them up and down. "I am Sigrun," she says. "A priestess of Lachlis the Sage. I see that you bear the mark of the death-touched. What is your business in Orvindal?"
"I have no business in Orvindal, really. I'm just passing through. We plan to stay for the night and then move on. We're headed for Aidenholt."
"And you?" she says to Einari.
"Greetings, madam. I am Einari, formerly of the Skaran."
"Formerly?" she says.
"I was exiled following a leadership dispute."
"And your business in Orvindal?"
"As with my friend Kalaira here, I am merely looking for a night's lodging before moving on. I'm accompanying her on her journey to Aidenholt."
"Please, madam, we just want some place to sleep for the night. Perhaps we can purchase some supplies in the market before we move on. Other than that, we don't intend to stay." And Kalyra is going to try a compel with heart. I have a 9 versus a 6 and a 9. So that's a weak hit. Sigrun wants something in return. All right, so I think I'm going to have to ask the Oracle. What does Sigrun, the priestess of Lachlis from Orvindal, want in exchange for allowing Kalyra and Einari to enter the town? I'm going to start by rolling on theme and then add action if I think it's necessary. Here comes theme. 70. Destiny. Okay, rolling on action. 73. Deliver. Deliver destiny. Says Sigrun. I suppose that we can allow you in for the night and some shopping in the morning, perhaps. However, in exchange, I wish you to carry a message for me to Aidenholt. Oh, well, certainly, Kalyra says. We're headed there anyway. Who is the message for? The message is for my colleague Thorvaldr, another priest of Lachlis, who dwells in Aidenholt. If you will accompany me, I will write the message out and hand it to you, and then show you where you may sleep for the night. Let them in, she says to the two guards.
All right, lady, says the guard. In you go. Mind you don't make no trouble.
Kalyra and Einari follow Sigrun into the city, or the town.
Who is this Lachlis that you are a priestess of? Asks Einari, and Sigrun glances over at him.
Lachlis, the sage. He is the god of light and knowledge. I believe you elves refer to him as the Red Brother.
Ah, says Einari. Well, I certainly know that name, but I had not realized that humans worshipped him.
Well, it seems you have much to learn about us, says Sigrun. The two of them follow her through the town. The place is starting to settle down for the night. Kalyra can hear dogs barking here and there. There is at least one house where there is a house with light streaming out the windows, and she can hear the sounds of merriment from within.
The local public house, says Sigrun as they pass it. People gather there at the end of the day for relaxation and companionship. You may find a bed there if you are polite. I will send word that you are permitted inside the town and expected to move on in the morning.
Very well, Kalyra says.
Sigrun's house is located close to the larger house at the center of the village. It's actually a fairly small place itself, in the shadow of the larger hall, which evidently belongs to the Jarl of this town.
Please wait here, she says, and I will provide the note.
So Kalyra and Einari stand in the shadows for a few minutes. Afterwards, Sigrun emerges holding a scroll. She has been rolled up, bound with a ribbon, and sealed with black wax. Here, mind you do not open it. Give it to Thorvalder when you come to Aidenholt. Yes, ma'am, says Kalyra, and tucks it carefully away in her pack. Off with you now, says Sigrun, and the two of them make their way back to the public house. Entering, they find a somewhat larger room with tables scattered about. There is a somewhat portly man standing to one side at a small bar, serving drinks. As they enter, the babble of conversation dulls down, and people look at them with interest. "Ah, welcome, travelers," says the man behind the bar, and gives them an odd look. "We don't see elves here terribly often." He does not mention Kalyra's eyes, but she can feel everyone's gaze lingering on it. "What can I do for you?" he says. "Sigrun said we could find lodging here for the night. Just the one night. We may purchase some supplies in the morning, and then we're moving on to Aidenholt." "And where have you come from?" he says.
"Palinham," she says.
"Ah, Palinham, eh? What's the news from Palinham?" And as Kalyra begins passing on bits of gossip and the happenings in Palinham, the hubbub slowly returns. The barkeep charges them a few coppers for a night's lodging and shows them to a common room. It looks as though there are three other travelers here, and there are pallets for 10 in this room. So the place is at half capacity for the evening. Kalyra does not really feel like socializing with the rest of the people outside, so she simply lays down and rests. Ainari, however, returns to the main room and spends several hours talking with the people there, learning about their lives, telling them about his. Eventually, he comes and takes a place on the pallet next over from hers. And in the morning, they find their way to the marketplace where they are going to attempt to resupply with a sojourn move. Rolling, plus heart. I have a 5 versus a 6 and a 9. So that is a miss. I'm going to have to pay the price. All right, Oracle, what does the price look like today? $54. It causes a delay or puts you at a disadvantage. The people of Orvindal are suspicious of these two strange outsiders, the elf with his mask and the strange woman with the glowing blue eyes. Kalyra spends a couple of hours in the morning going from one merchant to the next, asking to purchase supplies and being told that, we're all out, or more outright, "I don't like you, and I'm not going to do business with you," from one merchant who stares in her glowing blue eyes as he says this. "Kalyra, we're not going to find what we need here.
We should just move on, says Anari. Yes, I suppose you're right. It's not too bad. We've got enough supplies left. And with that, the two of them depart from Orvindal. And undertake a journey. I have a 4. 2 plus 2 is 4. Versus double twos. So that is a strong hit on Undertake a Journey. I could trade supply for momentum, which I do not want to do. I mark progress. But there is some kind of twist. I think I'm going to roll on the theme table to get some ideas for the twist. Fame. Little does Kalyra realize that she and Inari are the talk of the town behind her. All sorts of gossip is being traded about the strange red-headed woman with glowing blue eyes and her devil companion, this elf, who's no doubt hiding some sort of hideously deformed face underneath that mask. She continues on her way, completely oblivious to her growing fame in Orvindal. The journey for the day is uneventful. They make good time, and despite having left a couple of hours after they might ordinarily have done, they manage to make it to the next campsite along the line, and they make a camp. I have a 5 versus a 5 and a 6. So that is a miss. What am I going to do with that? I'm probably just going to pay the price. All right, Oracle. What's the price? 56. Same result as last time. It causes a delay or puts you at a disadvantage. I think I'm going to roll again because we just had that one. Trying again. 71. It is stressful. Okay. Kalyra dreams once more in the night. This time, she does not dream about the dark, snowy place that haunted her thoughts in the village of the Shatu tribe. Instead, she dreams of an empty, cold, black lake with rocky shores. A small island sits in the middle of the lake, completely devoid of any plant life. And the shores of the lake are likewise empty of any plants. It is a cold, desolate place. She wanders the lake's beaches in her dream. Rocks clatter away from her feet as she walks. And when she wakes, she has taken no rest from the evening's slumber. Spirit reduced by 1 to 3, and she's going to endure stress. That would be 4
versus a 4 and a 5. So that's a miss. Minus one momentum. Kalyra is muzzy-headed when they awake. Must have been a rock in the ground, she mutters to herself as she begins preparing breakfast. Inari wakes. Morning, he says. Did you have a good sleep? And she just looks at him, hair sort of frazzled, eyes baggy. It's quite the picture with the glowing blue eyes and the bags under them. Huh, I take it not, he says. More bad dreams? Yes, she says. You want to talk about them? Oh, why do I even bother asking? And once Kalyra has woken up a little bit more, they are going to undertake a journey once again. Okay, I have a 5, 3 plus 2 is 5, versus double sevens. It's a miss on doubles. Okay, I think that means they are probably going to be waylaid let's go with bandits or raiders. And because it is double sevens, I think... there'll be some sort of twist partway through this. Or else I'll make something a little worse for them some way partway through the fight. Kalyra and Inari walk along the path side by side. Coming around a bend, they suddenly find themselves confronted by a man standing in the center of the path, with a spear grounded in the dirt at his feet. He leans on it and says,
"Well there, good day to you."
Good day, Kalyra says.
"Going someplace?" he says.
"Yes," Kalyra says cautiously.
"Well, you may not know this, but this here road has a toll on it," he says.
"A toll," she says. "Really? What is the toll?"
And he sort of smiles and says, "What have you got?"
"There's no toll. You're just a bandit."
"Correction," he says. "We are bandits."
And I am going to declare that there are four of them. One who was hidden off to the side ahead of them, and two more who were hidden to the side of the roads and waited for them to pass and are now behind them.
"Now, look here, little miss, with your weird eyes. This doesn't have to be hard. All you have to do is give us your stuff, and then you can go."
"I don't have anything of interest to you," she says.
"Oh, I beg to differ," he says. "I see a pair of finely made spears. I see some bags, which no doubt have some very interesting things inside them. And, hey, clothes are valuable, too. So, pass it all over."
"I don't think so," she says, and lowers her spear in preparation.
"It could have been easy. Get 'em, boys," says the man,
and We are going to enter the fray with plus heart, because nobody was surprised by anyone. The bandits could have just charged them, but they chose to demand toll first. So here we go. Enter the fray, plus heart. I have a 6, plus 3 is 9, versus a 5 and a 3. So that is a strong hit on enter the fray. Plus 2 momentum, gain initiative. That caps out Kalyra's initiative once again. I am going to decide that there are two separate combat tracks here. Both of them are troublesome. Two bandits each. I've got two bandits front, which is troublesome. And we have two bandits rear, also troublesome. Okay, we have the initiative. As the two front bandits begin to go for Kalyra, Inari falls in at her back, so that the two of them are fighting back to back, and each knows the other has their back covered. Kalyra strikes at the two bandits that come towards her with their spears out. Four plus two is 6 versus a 5 and a 1. That is a strong hit on this strike, which I believe means plus 1 harm and retain initiative. Okay. So ordinarily it would be 2 harm because of she has a weapon. One harm if you have no weapon, two harm if you have a weapon, and then plus one harm from the strong hit. Yeah, okay, so that's 3 harm. Which, because these are only troublesome, is actually quite a lot. That is 9 progress on the track against the two front bandits. As the two men lunge forward towards Kalyra, she spins her spear and smacks one of the other incoming spears out of the way, and then plants the butt of her spear squarely in the face of the other man. He falls back, dropping his spear and screaming as his nose is broken. The other one lunges back towards her, but she sidesteps and cracks the spear across his head. He falls to the ground, dazed. And I'm going to move to end the fight versus this track, because that was a strong hit. And that's a progress roll versus 9 progress. I have a 7 and a 9 for a weak hit. I think I'm going to... Here's the part where we're going to make it slightly worse for them because of the doubles. She successfully vanquishes these two, but she's going to endure harm, just the one because they're troublesome, and her spear is going to break. Ironically, Kalyra manages not only to daze the second bandit, but also injures herself. As she cracks her spear across his head, it snaps, and the head of the spear spins through the air and jabs her in the shoulder. Ow, she says. So, minus 1 health, and we're going to endure harm. I have a 4 versus a 4 and 2. She presses on. with a weak hit. And that takes care of the front bandits. All right. We are still in combat, and that was a weak hit, so we've lost initiative. The two bandits from the rear have rushed forward towards Inari, and we're going to clash. That would be a 3, plus a 6, and an 8 for a miss. Going to lose initiative, which we did not have at the moment anyway, and pay the price. Rolling on pay the price. Seventy-one. It is stressful. All right. Inari cries out as one of the bandits jabs him squarely in the leg with a spear. Inari, Kalaira calls as he is hit, and she suffers one spirit damage and endures stress. 3 plus 3 is 6 versus a 3 and a 4. She's rolling plus heart rather than plus spirit, because heart is better at 3. That is, however, a strong hit on the endure stress. So we've gained initiative. I think we're actually going to trade -1 momentum for +1 spirit, dropping momentum to 8 and raising spirit to 3. Inari curses and hops backward, clutching at his leg, and Kalaira snatches the spear out of his grip and is going to strike fiercely at the two bandits from behind. She has a 3. 1 plus 2 is 3 versus a 4 and a 7. That is a miss. But I think I'm actually going to burn my momentum to make this a strong hit. So, my momentum drops down to +1 from +8, and she deals harm. Once again, 3 harm, as with the strong hit against the other two bandits, which is 9 progress. Kalaira snatches Inari's spear from his hand, and as the two bandits attempt to bring their spears to bear on her, she stabs one of them through the throat with the spear's head, and then immediately whips it out and cracks the other one across the side of the head with the spear, knocking him unconscious, or possibly knocking him unconscious, as I make a progress move here versus 9 progress to end the fight. 3 and 4, yes. He falls unconscious on the ground. Inari hops backward on one leg. It's over, Kalaira says, grounding on Inari's spear. In just a few moments, she has reduced 4 bandits with spears to shivering wrecks. 1 dead, 1 unconscious, 1 holding his nose and cursing a blue streak off in the woods, and the final one sort of weaving back and forth on his feet. "Get out of here," Kalaira snarls at them. The only one who's effective, the one whose nose is broken, nods, eyes wide in terror as she levels the spear at him. He hobbles over and
lifts up his dazed comrade, and then the two of them go over to the unconscious one and each grab an arm, and they begin hauling him away into the woods. The one with the broken nose glances at his spear. "Leave it," Kalyra says. "All right," says the bandit. And the three of them disappear into the forest. "Inari, you're hurt," Kalyra says. "Here, let me look at it." She leads him over to the side of the path and sits him down on the stump of a tree. And she reaches into her pack and pulls out some herbal supplies. She is going to try and treat him. Rolling a heal check at plus two from Herbalist. So this is at plus four. Two plus four is six versus a six and a one. So she successfully heals Inari, or binds his wound. It's not terribly deep. "You're lucky," she says. "They didn't cut into the muscle. You'll be able to walk just fine, but maybe not for the rest of the day. At least, we might need to make you a crutch, or I think I can just use my spear as a walking stick," he says. "But you're right, I should stay off it." Because that was a hit, she also gains either plus one spirit or plus one momentum. I think I'm going to take the momentum here. "Bunch of fools," Kalyra says. "Should know better than to pick a fight with armed travelers." "Less armed now," Inari says, noting that her spear was essentially destroyed in the conflict. "More armed. Look," she says, the bandits having left all four of their spears behind. "Let's, clean up here, and then get you settled." Kalyra takes Inari off to the side a bit from the road and gets him settled. She returns, gathers the spears, and checks the dead bandit, who is really most sincerely dead, with a large portion of his throat torn out by her spear blade. He has nothing of great interest on him. It seems that any valuables he might have had, he did not take out with him into the forest, which makes a great deal of sense. However, she finds a few coins in his belt pouch, along with a knife and a couple of apples. So we're going to actually make a resupply check here for this, to scavenge the battlefield, so to speak. And resupply is wits, so she has a 7 versus a 5 and a 10. Up to plus 2 supply at minus 1 momentum each. So, yeah, she's going to lose 1 momentum down to plus 1 in exchange for plus 1 supply, leaving momentum at plus 1 and supply at 4. She returns to the camp and sets up their gear, lays out their bedrolls, clears a spot for a fire, and I think they're going to make camp. Four plus three is seven versus a one and a five. So they get to choose two from the following.
I think, plus one health, returning Kalyra to full health. And plus one spirit. Kalyra is pleased at the outcome of this fight. I mean, she would rather not have fought at all, but having done so, she's pleased that she acquitted herself well. In the morning, she tends Inari's wound. It was a clean wound. And it seems as though, although his leg is going to be very stiff today, he can probably travel. So, undertake a journey. Four, 2 plus 2 is 4, versus, say, 3 and a 7. So that's a weak hit. Kalyra spends some more of her herbal supplies on healing Inari, but it leaves him capable of traveling through the day at a moderate pace. Fortunately, they had only about half a day's travel when the bandits hit them. And they make the rest of their way to Aidenholt. Now I need to reach your destination. It's a progress roll of that 10 progress versus a 6 and a 10. So a weak hit on reach your destination. Arrive and complication. Time to roll a 10. Okay. It is late afternoon when they come to the gates of Aidenholt, which is the largest human settlement that they have seen yet. Several hundred houses have been clustered along the slopes of a long rise, which leads up to a sharply pointed hill with a palisade around the top of the hill. There is a fortification at the top of this rock, which projects up above the town down below it. There is also a palisade around the town itself, but much larger than any Kalyra has ever seen. As they approach the gate, with Kalyra holding three spears in a bundle, and Inari hobbling along using the fourth as a walking stick, they come to the gate.
"Hey, you two," says the guard. "You're wanted for questioning."
"We are?" says Kalyra.
"Yeah. Lady with crazy blue eyes and a man in a mask. Jarl wants to talk to you. Come peaceful-like, and there won't be any trouble for you."
But she can tell that there are a number of guards gathering from inside, up to, I think, 6 of them at this point.
"Well, why does he want to talk to us?"
"There's been a complaint against you by some of our citizens, what said that you jumped them in the woods and tried to rob them."
"What?" says Kalyra. "No, it was the other way around. They tried to rob us."
"Yeah? Well, you can tell it to the Jarl. Come on, pass over your weapons and we'll take you up to talk to him."
Inari and Kalyra look at one another, she shrugs and says, "All right, here you are." And she extends the spears to them, but first, so that they can come and collect them. A guard rushes up and takes the spears from her. She also passes over her bow and arrow. "My friend's leg got stabbed in the fight. Is there a walking stick he could use instead of the spear?" she says, and she's going to make a compel check here. With plus heart, because she's trying to be nice here. And that's a 9. 6 plus 3 is 9, versus an 8 and a 2.
Yeah, we can arrange something, says the guards. Hey, lad, run and grab a stave, would you?
And one of the younger guards jumps into the there's a wooden guardhouse just inside the gate. He emerges a moment later carrying just a wooden stave, which he hands to Ainare, who passes over his spear in exchange. And I'm going to make a gather information at plus one here, because Kalaira wants to know what exactly has been claimed against her and Ainare. So gather information, plus wits, plus one from the compel. Three, with a one on the die, versus a nine and a ten. So that's a miss. Listen, do you know anything more about the claims? We're going to pay the price here. Not a 21. Your action has an unintended effect. You know, I think rather than rolling on pay the price, I'm just going to take the obvious price, which is that the guard doesn't tell her anything. The Jarl will tell you all about it, he says. You just keep quiet and follow us. The group of them heads their way into town. It's almost a quarter of a mile from the gate to the palisade of the Jarl's fortifications. The central street is broad and has been covered with gravel, making for a fairly easy walking surface, but Ainare struggles with the rise in elevation as they ascend to the Jarl's palace. Or not palace, palisade. There, the guard calls out to the guards at the Jarl's fortification and says, "Hey, got those two that the Jarl wanted to see. They just walked up to the front gate and gave themselves up." "Huh," says one of the guards. "Have they given you any trouble?" "Nah," says the man. "Gave up their weapons when we asked, and came along quiet-like." "Good," says the guard. And he looks at Kalaira and Ainare and says, "You gonna give me any trouble?" he says. "No," says Kalaira. "I gather the Jarl wants to talk to us about these ridiculous claims?" "Whether ridiculous or not remains to be seen," says the guard. "Come on, I'll take you to see the Jarl," he says. You can leave their weapons here," he says to the other guard from the gate, who nods and passes them over to the guards of the Jarls. The Jarl's guard leads them into the palisade. Within, it's a fairly extensive area, actually. There's enough space for some inn buildings. There is a stable and a smithy and several small buildings which appear to be dwellings. At the back center of the area, there is a hall with carven wood pillars that have been decorated with gold leaf in places. The guard and one of his allies, one of his other guards, escort the two of them through the area and up a flight of about four or five wooden stairs up to a deck, passing through these carven wooden pillars. The guard opens the door and ushers them in. Within, there is a feasting hall, tables run down both the left and right sides of this large rectangular room, with a fire pit located centrally. And opposite the entryway, slightly raised up above the others, there is another table, at the center of which sits a man with thin graying hair and a thin gold circlet holding it in place. He is flanked by a number of other people, two women, two men, all wearing rather fine clothes. The guard ushers Inari and Kylyra in, and as the room turns their attention to him, he says,
"My lord, the woman with the blue eyes and the man with the mask have presented themselves to the guards. I have brought them to you as requested."
"That's them," says a man, and it stands up. It's one of the four bandits that Kylyra fought yesterday. "They're the ones that attacked us in the forest." And that's where we're going to call session. However, I'm going to do a little bit of bookkeeping. I think I'm going to mark progress on the quest to speak with the spirit of Halfdan Groason, simply because I'm now in the right settlement to do that. That's 2 progress out of 10 there. That's it, really. That's all.